is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Ahmed Sharari of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Eyes on Syria. Syria was, during these last years, more than a decade, much more than a decade, darkness visible. Now there are some windows to see and to guess and to hope for the restoration of the nation and the people who fled. One window is the U.S. negotiating, apparently, for an air base in central Syria. Ahmed's reporting points me to two possibilities. One is a air base that's near the center of Damascus, Meza Air Base. Another is out to the northeast, Dunmair Air Base. The reports from Syria deny both of these Reuters indications, deny them characteristically with some wiggle room. The U.S. has not commented, to my knowledge. Ahmed, a very good evening to you. Significant to have an airbase in Syria at all. What are the choices between these two, and what does the denial look like? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. As you mentioned, I think the denials were phrased in a way that do not necessarily deny the fact that the U.S. might be using some of these bases in the future. What I understood from the denials is that the Syrian government is saying that the U.S. will not possess any air bases in Syria, and not that they won't be using any bases in Syria. And as we know, the U.S. currently has a presence in northeast Syria in the areas under Kurdish control, or the SDF control, the Syrian Democratic Forces, as part of the counter-ISIS missions. But the purpose behind of these bases in Damascus seems to be related to a potential security agreement between Israel and Syria, and probably an Israeli request to have an American presence in order to deconflict between the two countries.
The concern also is that Turkey talked about having an airbase in Syria at the same time, the early days that Turkey was clearly sponsoring al-Shara, the self-named president of Syria. Do we have any indication about that conversation? It happened some months ago.
Yes. So Turkey did have an ambition to control bases in central Syria. And it currently has bases in northern Syria, which is a bit far from the Israeli border. But there were discussions over having them in the Homs province in central Syria, not that far from the Israeli border, which led Israel to destroy one of the proposed bases named the T4 base.
So the T4 base is still in question, but it's been bombed.
It's been destroyed.
Yeah, yep. Destroyed. Now we move to a report of a C-130 landing, an American C-130 landing in Syria. Where and what was its mission? And when did we think it happened?
So this probably happened over the past or in the past 2 months. The C-130 was spotted landing in the Meze air base, again very close to the center of Damascus, unlike the Dumair air base, which is about 40 kilometers northeast of the Syrian capital. Now the purpose behind the landing is still unknown, but what can be confirmed is that the U.S. has been active, and there's recent activity in both bases. The Dumair air base, for example, is controlled by a U.S. backed faction called the Free Syria Army, that was part of the counter ISIS missions and has been partnered up with the U.S. Since at least 2017, 2018.
All right. The air bases may have an explanation. We go back 1 week. You will recall there were news reports that al-Shara was visiting Washington and would visit with President Trump. At the time, I reported that he entered the White House without the customary fanfare of a visiting head of state. He did not walk the corridors where you go by an array of cameras, for example, for file film. He did, however, meet with the president. You're reporting, Ahmed, that there was a discussion about what Syria needed and what Syria wanted. we can presume something had to do with, they talked about the airbase, but there was also a request, you report, that Syria wants, al-Shara wants Israel to withdraw. What else do we imagine was talked about in that conversation? Was there money exchanged?
Definitely. I think the biggest ask was the removal of the remaining sanctions on Syria, namely the Caesar sanctions, which require congressional approval to be removed. Now, President Trump has issued a waiver for 6 months on the Caesar sanctions, but the Syrians are looking for a clean repeal and a permanent one, so they can get more money in investments and reconstruction money.
And the Israeli component, is that confirmed that they wanted Israel to withdraw from its buffer on the southern border?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been an ask since the fall of the Assad regime, following the fall of the regime in December 2024. Israel maintained the presence in the area adjacent to the demilitarized zone that existed since 1974. And the Syrians have explicitly demanded Israel's withdrawal as part of a broader security agreement between the two countries. And it seems like the United States is also backing Syria's efforts to reach that goal, according to a report from last week.
We're putting together that conversation with pieces. We've got another piece now reported in, by Al Jazeera in these last hours about Soweto. Soweto province is southernmost in Syria. The report is straightforward that the Soweto massacre, and it was, is the result of security forces who are now being arrested. The Al Jazeera reports, Syria detains members of security forces over Soweto violence. Subhead, chief investigator declines to say how many arrested. Some were identified by videos on social media. Review the Soweto province massacre. What do we know? What do we think we know about what happened?
So what happened in Soweto about four months ago? First of all, you had local clashes between the Druze factions as well as some Bedouins who are local to the province. And then the government intervened and we saw violations. And then Bedouins from all across Syria flocked into Soweto and committed some massacres. Since then, the government has maintained the presence in the western side of the province as well as the northern side, while the Druze factions have maintained a strong presence in the biggest city in the province, also called Soweto City. And since then, we've seen clashes between these factions and the government forces. The most recent one was last week, last Thursday. But this news about accountability and arrests is important because for the past 4 months we've only seen investigative committees being formed, but no sort of accountability towards those who committed crimes in Soweto. And so yesterday there was a press conference by one of the investigative committee that said that some government forces were arrested for entering Soweto and for not following the government's orders. But the real question is, how will these individuals be prosecuted? Are they doing this for show? Will we see any sort of legitimate accountability against those who are part of the Syrian army? Again, these questions remain unanswered now. But the Syrian government still has a lot to do when it comes to accountability, even for those who were implicated in massacres in the Syrian coast in March against the Alawites.
Yes, the previous massacre was the Alawites on the coastline. Mm-hmm. Is there any comparable investigation or have there been any arrests in that matter?
Yes, and the investigative committee announced earlier today that they will be holding the first public trial against members who committed massacres in the coast. They just announced it today.
The assertion by the central government that was bombed by the Israelis, as I recall, the defense ministry was targeted after the Soweto province. The explanation mm-hmm. is it wasn't us, it was renegade security forces. Is that how they're explaining this? because at the time, Israel looked to be holding al-Shara responsible by bombing his defense ministry.
So Israel had drawn a red line prior to that, that any harm to the Druze will that Israel is willing to defend the Druze in Syria. But the government has been, they've acknowledged that members of their security forces have engaged in a lot of these abuses and violent acts. Again, there's a difference between acknowledgement and accountability. They can acknowledge as much as they want, but if those who committed massacres remain, are roaming freely and are not held accountable, then this would be a big issue in the long term, because it would only intensify the mistrust that exists between the government and the Druze community in Syria.
At the time, there was reporting that the Soweto province massacres had directions from state security. Names were given. I believe you had them in your reports. Lieutenants that had been associated with the previous iteration when they were an al-Qaeda branch in Idlib province. To our knowledge, have those men been arrested, the ones closest to al-Shara?
In terms of these reports on names, I think some analysts have tried to draw links between individuals who are in the Syrian government as well as some of the tribes that took part in the massacres. Again, I think these links are very loose, mainly because when you look at the tribal structure in the Middle East and Syria specifically, one member of the tribe does not speak for the whole tribe, that complicates matters. But for now, I haven't seen any reports on lieutenants and high-ranking officers that were arrested, mainly those who were captured doing or committing violent acts on camera.
It's not complicated enough. We have maybe an airbase for the U.S., maybe an airbase for Turkey, maybe trading going on, sanctions lifted in exchange for an investigation of the province, Soweto province. Maybe the Israelis involved in detailing what must happen before they pull their forces back, but it's more complicated. When we come back, Russia on the scene. This is CBS Eye on the World with Ahmed Shirari of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batchelor.